How's everybody doing? Awake and alive, excited? Praise God. Well, your pastor asked me to come, and it's just been a blessing to be with him and his wife, and just great folks, just great hearts, just awesome people. You guys are blessed. I don't know if you know how blessed you are. You guys are blessed. But what he asked me to do is he asked me to share with you how I met God. And hopefully you guys have met God. And some of you probably think you have and haven't inhaled yet, and I don't know if you understand how that goes. And anybody ever smoke a cigarette? You don't have to admit it. And so, but people that smoke cigarettes, when I started smoking cigarettes when I was little, but I didn't inhale. And then one day this crazy guy was teaching me how to smoke pot, and he says, I'm going to let you smoke my pot because you're not inhaling. And I'm like, yeah, I'm inhaling. And he says, no. He says, look. He says, smoke that cigarette. And he says, I want you to get it, all that smoke go away. And when I did, it's like, whoa, that's a whole nother deal there. And I was coughing and carrying on. And I was just a little guy. I think I was 10 or 11 at the time. But I found out about inhaling. And some people haven't ever inhaled Jesus. They come to church, they play church, but they never inhale. They just get a little bit in their mouth and then let it get back out and say, oh yeah, man, I'm smoking Jesus, man. You ain't smoking Jesus. We need to inhale. We need to get Jesus all the way down inside us. When I finally got Jesus all the way down inside me, I was addicted. Straight up addicted. I mean, first time I was addicted. For those of you that were ex-drug addicts, you understand the how that goes. Now I used to be a drug addict. I'm not a drug addict anymore. And so if some of you were drug addicts, you don't have to be anymore. And I know they got the Narcotics Anonymous where you go say, you know, I'm a recovering drug addict. You don't have to be a drug addict. You know, Jesus touched my life. I wasn't a drug addict anymore. When he touched my life, I wasn't an alcoholic anymore. I used to be an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I can't stand up at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and say, I'm an alcoholic, but I haven't drank for 35 years. I can't say that because I'm not an alcoholic. I'm free. I'm a new creation. Bible says what he does is when God comes in you, he recreates you. You become a new creation. Old things are passed away. And all things are become new. So I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a bunch of those things that I used to be that I'm not going to mention tonight. But now my wife, on the other hand, God just personally brought her down and introduced her to the world. And she's just been a blessing to the world all her life. The only person that was more perfect than her was Jesus. And the flaw that she had was before we got married, she didn't like me for a while. And that was the flaw, and that was sinful, and God's delivered her of that, and now she's perfect, and so we're all good now. But my wife's a huge blessing, but she needed to get saved anyway. And so she is raised in church and never knew Jesus, had to meet Jesus. Once she met Jesus, she fell in love. And so she's in love with him, she's in love with me. The only reason she married me was because Joel Osteen was already married, and she told me that. It's like, at least I'm second pick, you know, so that works. But I was raised, I was raised in church. I heard all about a Jesus, but I never knew the Jesus. I heard about a religious Jesus where you got to do this, you got to do that, you can't do the other thing. And as long as you're putting money into the church, you're okay in their books. And if you put enough, it doesn't matter what you do, you can sit on the front row and everything. And so, as long as you pay, man. And so, but let's take the offering one more time. Let's find out. Anyway, so, but I don't know. I always had a little bit of that doesn't work for me in me, and so I can't take games. I don't know about you guys, but I can't play games. And pastor was telling me, what you see is what you get, you know, when it comes to him. And that's what my wife told me when I met her. She goes, what you see is what you get. I'm thinking, I like what I see, so I'm good with that. And I just like people to be honest. Just be real. And that's what God's looking for, is for us to be real. Because as long as you're scamming, you're not going to get close to God. And a lot of the world, we're scamming and we're running, and that's why we don't meet God. But it's that point when God, you know, finally gets us up against the wall, you know, he's got his throat, you know, or our throat with his hand, you know, and he's holding us up about 5 feet, and all our life has fallen out from underneath us, and we finally say, okay, I give, I need Jesus. And I came to that point, not intentionally. I was always a little bit proud, a little bit arrogant, you know, thought I was better than everybody else, thought the whole world revolved directly around me. And I know none of you have ever had that problem, but I thought that was the case, and I thought the whole world was made just for me, and I kind of messed me up. And so when I was, by the time I was 13, I was already doing drugs and drinking and carrying on, and I told my dad one day, I said, my dad was a preacher, a religious preacher. He wasn't a Christian. He had gone through several big-name Bible colleges. He had degrees like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he'd had more degrees than he had wall. And they were all the big ones. They weren't the little degrees. They weren't the ones that started with A. They started with D and M and those kind of things. And P and, you know, whatever. He had the big degrees. And highly intellectual dude, but he didn't know Jesus. It was all just in his mind. And he told me one day after I got saved, actually, we were driving up to see my brother in prison. My brother had gotten born again in prison. And my brother told me, he says, you know what, John, I'm freer in prison than I ever was when I was walking the streets. And my dad had shown up. I hadn't talked to him for years. And he showed up and wanted to go see my brother. And so I took him up to see my brother. And on the way, it was probably one of the few times I ever talked to my dad in my life. He told me, he says, you know what? He says, when I was your age, I had what you have. So I was excited. He says, then I went to Bible college, and they were doing, you know, the guy that graduated top of the class and has the biggest church of thousands. He's the one that led the panty raids in the girls' dorm. And he said, it was a large religious denomination, one of the main religious denominations that preaches Jesus. It's a good group. He just didn't have what everybody else had, I think. And he told me, he says, that there was one of the teachers, professors, yeah, was a guy from a different religious group that wasn't even Christian, and he had taught the class that you cannot believe everything in the Bible, that you have to take it figuratively, you can't take it literally because it's not all true. And so he was teaching all of them to believe that they couldn't believe the Word of God. And he said he died inside at that Bible college, and he went to several Bible colleges after that, but he died there. He died there spiritually. And it's possible to die spiritually. Just because you come to Jesus doesn't mean that you're with Jesus. You got to live for Jesus. You got to make a choice. The Bible's full of ifs. And the if means that you got something to do. And so what I saw as a kid, I didn't see the real Jesus. I saw religion. And it just turned me off. But by going to church, something that happened at church was I would go to Sunday school, and they'd teach us the Sunday school lessons. And they would teach us, read the scriptures to us. And by learning that, I learned that there was a God. There really was a God. But I didn't think he went to church because I didn't see him at church. And you know what? Something that's crucial. You guys got great kids ministries here. That's awesome because kids need that. Because even no matter what happens to a kid down the road in his life, he's going to remember that somebody loved him and told him that there was a real Jesus. When his world falls apart, he's going to call out to that Jesus, and that's awesome. Or it may keep him from his world falling apart, and he'll know who to cry out to. And so that's really a blessing. And so when my world fell apart, I knew who to cry out to. And I didn't know how, but I knew who to cry out to. But the whole time that my life was falling apart, I got to be 13. I told my dad, I said, you know what? I said, I'm as big as you now. He was 6'2". And I said, I'm as big as you now. And I just got to tell you, man, I'm not cutting my hair anymore. I'm not going to do it. I look like a dork, man. I look like a, you know, church kid. And so I was like, oh, nah, we don't do this. This is early 70s. You don't cut your hair, not if you're a teenager. And so nowadays you do, you know, but back then you didn't. And so I said, I'm not cutting my hair anymore. And I'm not going to church anymore. And also, by the way, I'm not going to live here anymore. I'm out of here. I took off on a hitchhike, an extended hitchhike. And I became intentionally homeless. It was by choice. And I lived in cardboard boxes. I lived under overpasses. I lived, we'd sit around. Remember up in Washington, all these, had a bunch of Indians and stuff up there and a bunch of homeless people. And everybody that was sitting around, we were sitting in a big circle around the fire one night. And somebody had stole a big bottle of Gallo. And I don't know if that's even good wine. But we were passing it around, all drinking it. And half the people didn't have half their teeth. And it's good we don't have the diseases we got today, because I would have got some back then. And I learned to do drugs. I became addicted to pumping drugs in my arm. I was an alcoholic all the way. And I was running from the law, and I was hiding from the law, and I was getting in fights and doing different things. And I had a messed up life. And I remember when I was 15, I had gotten kicked out of the state of Arizona. The state of Arizona said, you know what, you got to leave till you're 18 or we're sending you to prison. And I took that rather than to go to court and take the option. And so I left and I went out to Texas, and I got a job surveying, and I would drive the trucks for them and do all the stuff. I wasn't even old enough to have a driver's license, but I had gotten a ID that said I was 21. And so military ID, because I had been working on a military base, and I told them I was 21. And actually, I told them I was 19. They made the mistake, but it said I was 21. And so I was there, and they had given me this license or given me this ID. And so I got a job. Everybody just thought I was older, and I was just really messing up my world and doing a lot of things I shouldn't do. And I ended up in San Antonio, Texas one night. I was down there with a guy that I worked with, and the way we used to get along back then is if you had a buddy, you'd just fight him, you know. You'd get good and drunk, and you'd beat the snot out of each other. I don't know, you know, where you guys are raised, but that's the way it was. I was kind of raised in Southern California, and I was raised about all the bikers and all the gangs, and you know, from a little kid, I had steel-toed boots, and that's just the way I thought life was, you know. And so I'm out with this guy, and we're out at a rodeo. In the parking lot, I didn't go to rodeos, I wasn't a cowboy, so I just stayed in the parking lot, and I told this guy, we're getting drunk, and I said, you know what, I said, let's fight, you know, we're friends, let's fight, and I didn't understand, you know, sometimes we learn as we go, sometimes we don't learn, and so here I am, he goes, I don't do that. I said, sure you do, man, you're a tough guy, I heard you're in gangs and all that, come on, let's fight. And he says, no, he says, when I fight to the death. If I fight you, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, get out of here, man. You ain't bad enough to kill me. So I found out. This is when I learned that Mexicans play with knives. I didn't know that. I thought we all just used our fist. And so here we are. We're fighting, and he just keeps kind of slapping me on the back. And you know, it's dark. It looked like he had a ring or something on. Saw a little, you know, flicker of light now and then. And I didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, his face changed, and I saw the face of the devil himself. And he says, "Kneel down and beg me to let you live." And I thought, man, this is getting a little carried away. And I got down on one knee, and this guy tried to kick me in the face, and I just kind of picked him up and threw him to the side and got up, and I said, you know what, you need to settle down or I'm going to hurt you. And he began to apologize to me. He says, John, I'm sorry, man, I messed you all up. And I said, you didn't mess me up, you just barely even touched me. He goes, no, I messed you up. Turned out my clothes were shreds. My pockets were all completely full of blood. I was cutting a whole bunch of pieces. My lung was punctured. I was a mess. I was an absolute mess. And he actually drove me to the hospital. I woke up the next morning, they had sewed me up best they could. But I saw something that night I'd never seen before. I saw the face of the devil himself. And I said, you know what? Something's going on here. But that was the life I was living. Before long, it was a lot worse than that. And I began to do drugs and began to take on demon spirits. I had voices in my mind. They would be telling me what to do. They would be showing me things. I was moving in the spiritual realm, but it wasn't my spirit. And I realized there was something wrong because I thought about things. You know, I just wasn't a stupid sinner. Maybe I was. So I thought about things, and I thought, you know what, how come these things that are spiritual things that are happening through me, how come I don't have any control over them? How come it happens when something tells me to do it? Something tells me what's going to happen. I don't decide what's going to happen. I thought something is askew here. I didn't know what it was. And as I was going through life, things kept getting worse. Things didn't get any better. Went through a lot of things, and the devil was trying to take me out. He was trying to destroy my life. And I had smoked, you know, it wasn't medical marijuana back then. It was a different kind. And I did inhale, and my memory went, and I couldn't remember anything. People would ask me who I was. I couldn't remember my own name. It's a messed up unit. They locked me away, and I managed to jump the fence, go over the hill, and run off and escape. But I never could escape me. I couldn't get away from me. And I was a messed up unit, and I was probably my worst enemy. I was probably worse to me than the devil himself. And I was causing problems, and my life was going down, and it was going down. And my mom was off somewhere else praying for me, believing God that I would get saved. And she had a prophecy. She had a word. She didn't tell me till after I got saved and after I began to preach the gospel. And I told her, Mom, I'm a pastor now. And when I did, she goes, oh, John, I knew all along that you were going to be a pastor. I knew all along. When I called her and I told her that I got saved, it made her day. It just changed her whole world. And then my brothers got saved, and one of them in prison and one of them not in prison. And we changed. We became different people. But what happened was we had to come to a point where we opened up our hearts to God. We had to come to a point where we said, you know what? We are messed up. We are messed up. And I remember I ended up down in I was up in Washington. We had hit up some hardware stores. We had guns and money and drugs and all kinds of stuff. And we had a cabin way out in the woods. And me and my oldest brother were going to go out there and live in the woods and die. And that's what we always wanted. We were just kids. We were going to go out there live in the woods and die. And we thought we had arrived. And we got out there And we had everything we wanted. And I told my brother, I said, Jim, I said, something's wrong, man. I can't be here. There was something. I felt something pulling inside me. I said, man, I just got to go. He says, where are you going to go? I said, I don't know. I think I hitchhiked down to Florida, do cocaine, and die down there. And he thought that was a good idea. So he said, okay, go for it. And I started hitchhiking out that way. I ended up in Sydney, Montana. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's colder than New York in the wintertime. It is colder than cold. And I ended up there, and I said, this ain't where I'm supposed to be. And I tried to hitchhike to Florida, and I ended up in New Mexico. Somebody gave me a ride down there, and I said, well, I'm going to go over to Sierra Vista, Arizona, and see what's happening. And when I did, something happened. First thing that happened was the cops found me. They had been looking for me for a while, so they put me in jail. But in jail, somebody started telling me about Jesus. And when I got out of jail, somebody else started telling me about Jesus. And everywhere I went, somebody was telling me about Jesus. And I was like, no, man, this is religion. I was raised in religion, and I don't need that. And I had gotten a hold of my brother, and I told him, I said, these Christians are chasing me, and I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And he just laughed at me. He thought it was funny. He didn't realize what was happening. But I got invited to a little concert, and they were having a little concert, a Christian concert, and building a little smaller than this platform, and there's probably 50 people up there sitting on the floor, clapping their hands and carrying on, and a band in the corner. And all that was in that little room, and it was so loud you couldn't even get in there. And they were talking about this Jesus, a different Jesus than the one I heard, a Jesus that could change my life. And I saw people I'd done drugs with in the past, and they were smiling, but it was a different smile than they used to have. And something had changed in their lives, and something wasn't the same. And that night, I opened up my heart, and that night, I cried out to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, I said, if you're real, then I'm a sinner, and I need you in my life. But I had a little add-on. I said, but if you're religion, I want nothing to do with you because I'm already pretty messed up. Don't need that. And something happened to me. And I didn't ask for religion. I didn't ask for anything to change. I asked for Jesus. And all of a sudden, I had a smile on my face I couldn't wipe off. It was something I couldn't change. I was just smiling. I felt real weird because I didn't smile. I was too cool to smile. So I thought. And so here I am. I'm smiling. And all of a sudden, something changed inside me, and I didn't want to do drugs anymore. And I had pumped drugs, and I even pumped no dose one time because I didn't have any drugs. Somebody said that would work, and it didn't. And I had this big old bump on my arm for years after that. And the moment that I gave my life to Jesus, that bump disappeared. Big old bump on my arm disappeared at that moment. And then after that, I smelled alcohol after that, and just the smell of alcohol made me want to throw up. It wasn't I don't think I'm going to quit drinking. It just made me want to throw up. And 2 weeks later, I was driving around with some brothers. I was in the back seat of their car, and I was talking to them about something, and I said a cuss word. Now, I used to cuss every third word, whether I needed to or not, and sometimes more. But all of a sudden, I said a cuss word, and I heard it, and I freaked out. I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry. And they're like, not a big deal. But it was a big deal to me because I realized something. I realized that for 2 weeks, I hadn't cussed. Something had changed in me. And it wasn't because I joined a religion or joined a theology decided I was going to change or went to some special meetings. It was because I opened up my heart and over the years, I've seen thousands and thousands of people give their lives to Jesus. Thousands. And what they do is, it's not which prayer they pray or how they pray it. The ones that really get saved are the ones that open their heart. Just open their heart. And it doesn't really matter the words. The words help you. That's a good thing. But you got to open the heart. When you open the heart, Jesus comes in. You give him license to come into your life. And he changes your world. Let me read you a scripture so that I can say I did. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what God says. What that means, in a nutshell, is it means that God knew you before he created the world. He already had a plan and a destiny for your life. I had a guy I was talking to a while back. He says, well, some of us are predestined to be Christians, and some of us are predestined to fuel the fire of hell. I said, no, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says we're all predestined to be children of God, but we're not all the children of God. You've got to make a choice. We can become children of God if we open up our heart and let Jesus in. Not if we attend enough church services, not if we do enough good works, not if we put enough money in the offering plate, but if you do that, the pastor will say a special prayer for you, and that'll be a blessing to the church. But that's not going to get you into heaven. The way you get into heaven is by opening up your heart, letting Jesus in. You got to be real with God. You got to open up your heart to God and be serious with God. And here's the key to Christianity. Here's the key to growing in God and maturing in God is what you have to do is you have to give him all of your life. God cannot bless what you don't give him. If you don't let him be God of all of your life, then he can't be God of all of your life. You know, we cry, God, why don't you help me in my circumstance? Well, you know, why don't you give him your circumstance? You know, God, fix my family. Give him your family. Quit staying at home saying, nah, man, I'm going to fix my family. No, I can do this, man. I'm going to work it out on my own. No, quit trying to work it out on your own. Let God do something. You got a part to do. You've got some stuff to do and some involvement in it. But you've got to let God be God of the situation. If God says to go here or go there or back off, you have to do it. If you don't do it, God can't be God of that part of your life. So God can't do a miracle for you. God wants to do miracles for you. God loves you. God's real. God's real. He's not a game. He's not a religion. And people take advantage of him. People abuse him. People violate him. People say, well, God told me, when God didn't tell him. And shame on those people. They're violating my God. And I know him. I know how he is. I know who he is. He loves us. He's real. He gave his life for you. He came down from heaven. You got to get this. This is the God that created everything. He's bigger than everything beyond what you could possibly see. People look at the stars and go, oh, wow, it's really big out there. He's a lot bigger than any of that. And there's a lot more out there than anybody has ever seen so far. And God's out there. He's bigger than all of it. The only reason we exist is because he breathes life into us every single morning. The only reason that we're here, that we have another day, is because he gave us another day. And the only reason that we're still alive is because he's a gracious and a merciful God. And he's given us every chance in the world to get our hearts right. Every chance in the world to repent, to turn from our sins, and to let him be God in our lives. People treat him like crap. Can I say crap here? Like poop. You can interpret that however you want. Number two, whatever it's called, man. That's how they treat him. And it ain't right, man. It ain't right. God loves us. He just loves us. And he's real with us. We need to be real with him. And he's predestinated us. He's planned blessing and victory for us. Do you know when he created you, he did not create you to fail. He didn't create you to be a drug addict. He didn't create you to be an alcoholic. He didn't create you to be abused by your husband or your wife or your neighbor. He created you to be the head and not the tail. The victor and not the victim. He predestinated you to, the Bible says, to own homes. Not just one, homes. He predestines you to have more than enough. Some of you like saying, well, if I just had enough, I'd be okay. But he predestines you to have more than enough. And he can take you into it. And he laid out the whole plan in the Word. It's all there. It's real easy. It's real simple. Give and you shall receive. And it also, it talks about submitting to each other. Talks about taking advantage of the gifts that God's given you, like your pastors. Not taking advantage of them. I mean, that's not what I meant. But allowing them to speak into your lives and give you direction so that you can grow. And we all come together, and we're supposed to come together and grow in unity instead of being mad at each other all the time. Get along, you know. And what I try to tell people is if you got a special place where you sit, brother, is that where you always sit? Right there? The guy with the bald head? I'm getting there, man. No? Yeah? Right about there? You know what? What's really cool is if you find a new place to sit. Even if you gave enough to sit on the front, you know, maybe go find another place to sit. Go sit by somebody you don't know. Get to know somebody. Find somebody that you don't know in the church and build a relationship with them. Because God put us together. We're not here by accident. God put you together. God didn't, you know, pastor didn't just go pick, well, I think I'll take this person and that person in my church. No, God put us together. We are a family. We are a working unit. And we all grow together to become what God wants us to be. And we need each other. You can't do it on your own. We need each other. And the way we need each other is by submitting to each other and allowing other people to help us to grow and to work through some issues in our life so that we can find out the stuff we still need to submit to God so that God can be God of every area of our life so we can walk in the blessing of God. Verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. You know what that means? It means God's got a plan for your life, and God knew that you were going to mess up a couple of times on the way. He knew you were going to get detoured. He knew you were going to get distracted. He knew you were going to come into the presence of the devil himself and have to make some decisions and sometimes make wrong ones. But God has predestined you. He has given you an inheritance. You know what that inheritance is? They're nodding their head, but they're not saying. You know, life, yeah, life. But what is life? Life is not existence. Life is not sucking air. I'm still alive. No, that's not life. Life is to walk in victory and power and authority. To have the glory of God flowing through you. That everything you touch, the power of God gets loosed in it. That's life. And that's what God's given you. He's given it to you through the Spirit of the Almighty God that He's put inside you so that you can walk in victory. And the hindrances are those things that we do that hold us back. And some of you had some experiences similar to mine. And some of you didn't let go of all of them. I've let go of all of them. I'm completely perfect now. My wife told me, right? Okay, anyway, we're working on it. We're working on it. And God brings up new stuff. I've been saved 35 years, man, and God still brings up new stuff. Stuff I didn't even know or stuff I forgot and, you know, went the other way again. And so stuff comes up, and God works us through that. But as stuff comes up, instead of saying, oh, I'm going to hide that, give it to God. Give it to God. Let God be God of your life. Because only when you submit to God, even if you think you're okay, even if you think it's all right, even if you think, well, for you, that's just a little sin that you want to hang on to. If you'll give it to God and trust God with it, if you'll, you know what, here's a good way to do it, is you're wondering, well, do I really need to change in that area? Oh, should I really, give that to God? Is it okay to go, you know, on that date with that person? Here's the best way to find out is come up here in front of the church while everybody's here and say, Pastor, should I do that? If you really don't know, come up here in front of everybody. And before you get up here, you'll know already. I guarantee you. Because we need to be honest. If you'll be honest in your heart, say, God, I don't need religion. I'm already messed up enough. I need you. I need your power. I need your authority. I need to be free. I need to be happy. I need to be victorious. And you promised me. And start digging through the Word. And you know what? If you don't know the Word, then God can't make the Word alive to you. You got to read the Word. Dig in the Word. And this is a place where you can learn the Word. This is an awesome place. Come to church. If the door's not locked, come to church. If it was a mistake, they left it unlocked by mistake, come on in, pray, do something. Come to church. Let God feed into your life. And then feed yourself too. You eat breakfast, don't you? Don't you eat breakfast, most of you? Lunch? You eat at some point during the day, right? I remember going around, I'd get a piece of bread. Might be all I ate for 3 days when I was homeless. And I remember the warmth that it brings inside. It's like, wow, I got energy. I can run another week, man. I'm good. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but I remember those times. I remember times that I had nothing. I remember times when people would give me something, God would send them to feed me, to keep me alive. I remember times when I shouldn't have lived. I remember waking up in the middle of the desert in a puddle of blood. And it was a miracle I woke up. Been shot at, cut up, beat up, abused. I've overdosed on drugs multiple times. Should have died. Overdosed out in the middle of the desert one time. And some kids just happened to be walking through the middle of the desert. Little kids. What in the world were they doing in the desert? Shame on their parents. They should have stayed home. They found me out there, and they brought an ambulance out into the middle of the desert, picked me up, took me to the hospital, kept me alive. That was God. That was God because God had predestined me. God has predestined every one of you. God has a plan, and He has a purpose for your life. Doesn't matter how tall, how short you are, what language you speak. Doesn't matter what's happened in the past. God has a plan for you, and the devil wants to stop you from getting there. But God says you can get there. He says, I have preordained you to step into it. The scripture says that all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And instead of letting your past and your problems and your issues be your downfall and be your blockade and be the barrier between you and your destiny, let it be a lesson that you learned. Shake it off. Say, okay, been there, did that. That wasn't good, but God has something better for me. My God is bigger than my problems. My God is bigger than my issues. And I'm going to step into my destiny. Because God doesn't want you to stop. But the more problems you have, probably the more the devil's trying to stop you from getting where God wants you to go. God has a plan. And something that is so crucial that I have learned over the years is it's not about me. Some of us think, oh man, so-and-so, this happened and that happened, man. Shut up, man. We're here for just a moment. But you know what? My life is not about me. I'm able to impact him, hopefully in a good way, and her, hopefully in a good way. But if I'm stupid, serious, if I'm stupid, I can't help you. And my destiny is linked to you. And my destiny is linked to you. And I'm tied to you, even though I still got a little bit more hair than you. It's coming. It's coming. I'm joining the club. But we're linked together. We're tied together, even if I've never met you before. The moment that I'm in contact with you in any way, what it is God is bringing us together. God is allowing me to impact you, and you're impacting me. And what we need to do, it's not just what we do in the flesh, it's what we do in the spirit, because my spirit's spilling on you. It's just not the words that I say. The spirit of God that's flowing through me is getting in you. And I went through hell and back, and God brought me out of it so that I could be a blessing to you, so that the Holy Ghost could get a hold of your life, so that God could stir you up and say, you know what, there is hope. It's not over yet. There's a plan and a purpose for you, and God wants to do something good in your life, and nothing's too hard for God. God wanted to do that in your life. It's not just a carnal thing, it's a spiritual thing. If in your flesh you're unable to forgive, it's going to stop you from what God wants to do in your life. If in your flesh you're unable to submit to your pastor, it's going to stop you from what God wants to do in your life. As a young Christian, I started going to church, and as going to this church, it was not the best church. It was the only one that would let me in at the time. I was living out in the desert. I stank real bad. There's only one river that flows north from Mexico into the United States, the San Pedro River there in Arizona. And the mines dump all this nasty stuff in there. It's orange. And it's not a river, it's a stream. It's probably 5 feet wide, and it's just a stream. Every 2 weeks, whether I needed to or not, I'd take a bath in that. I was just living out in the desert, totally out of my mind. I was one messed up guy, but God got a hold of my life. There was only one church in town that would let me inside the doors. Shame on them. Shame on them. And shame on you if you don't let them in the doors. It doesn't matter how much they stink. It doesn't matter that they reach in, take something out of your pocket. It doesn't matter. Shame on you, because they have destiny, and you have destiny to reach into their lives. And I'd come to church, everybody'd smile when they saw me. They'd go up and shake my hand during handshaking time. But I noticed something after a while is that they wouldn't sit by me. There was a big ring around me where I was sitting, and I didn't realize it at first, but it's like every time, it's wherever I sat, man, there's a big circle around me. I stink like hell. But you know what? They were so excited that God could do something in somebody. Everybody knew me. I was the crazy guy. You ever see the crazy homeless guy? And he's walking up and down. He's got the cart, and he's out of his mind, and he's like that. That was me. But I was so poor, I didn't have a shopping cart, man. I didn't even have a shopping cart. But I was Looney Tunes. And God said, I can do something. I like you. You know what? God likes every single one of them. Every single one of them. What they need is they just need to encounter God. Just the same as we need to encounter God. At some point, we got to open up our hearts and say, you know what, God, it's all yours, man. I'm not going to hold back the cigarettes. Cigarettes are not a sin. Can I tell them what sin is? There's only one sin. Does anybody know what it is? Kind of like that. Rejecting. It's the better word is rebellion. If God says do something and you say no, that's sin. If God tells you not to smoke and you're smoking, then it's sin. Billy Sunday, one of the greatest evangelists of all time, the big old cigars, man, be smoking them, drove the religious people nuts, man. He brought a whole bunch of people to Jesus. But if God tells you not to do it and you do it, that's sin. There's only one sin. But what we need to do is as God brings things up in our lives, God starts stirring you up and saying, don't be so happy, or don't wear glasses, or whatever it is. I don't know. Don't wear square shoes. Whatever God tells you, if God tells you something, just say, okay. Okay, God, that really sounds obscure to me. And if it's really, really weird, ask the pastor before you do it, because it may not be God telling you. And if you know that God told you, and you ask the pastor, and he contradicts what God told you, you know what the best thing to do is? Submit to your pastor, huh? Because God flows through the pastor. Even if the pastor is wrong, God will bless you for obeying what the pastor tells you to do. Because God is a sovereign God, but God is a God of order, and God flows through the man of God. And he's the one that God placed in this place. And so even if I tell you some really crazy stuff tonight, go ask the pastor if he'll straighten you out. Do what he tells you, and you'll enter into your destiny. You really will. But trust God. And here's the whole reason I'm here tonight. I want you to know that Jesus loves you, man. He's not a religion. He's not a theology. Nobody has a monopoly on him. He's not a certain church that you go to. God's real. And there is nothing cooler than to come into the presence of the Almighty God and have him breathe into your life. Have him speak to you. Have him talk to you. There is nothing better. The reason I was a junkie, the reason I was a drug addict, the reason I did crazy things and got into places where I shouldn't have been was I love the high. I love the excitement. But there is nothing more exciting than have the God that created everything to sit down with you and start talking to you and tell you jokes and show you why he created something a certain way, why he does things the way he does. And that's why God created you, because he created you because he wants friends. He wants friends that want to be his friends, not friends that have to be his friends. And he's not worried about whether or not you're perfect. He doesn't care if you're perfect. The blood of Jesus makes you perfect. By the grace and the mercy of God. And if you'll just open up your heart and say, God, I want to be what you want me to be. What God does is whatever you give him, he blesses it and he gives it back to you blessed. If you'll give him your life, he'll bless it and give it back to you blessed. If you humble your heart and submit to him, he'll come over and give you a big hug. He'll hang out with you. There's nobody better to hang out with. God just loves you so much. He really does. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to show you things that nobody else can see. And that's cool. That's just cool. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, I want to help you to know Jesus tonight. Some of you here honestly do not know Jesus. Some of you here know about Jesus, but you don't really know Jesus. Some of you here do know Jesus. Some of you here have a limited relationship with Jesus. Some of you here have a really awesome relationship with Jesus. Some of you here think, I am one nutcase. You're probably right. But it's all okay because Jesus loves me. And he loves you just the way you are. He's not asking you to change everything then come to him. He wants you to come to him just the way you are. Hey, you guys can work stuff out later. But right now, he just wants you to open up your heart. Let him inside. Let him do a miracle for you. And if you open up your heart, he'll begin to work inside you. He'll begin to change you, to set you free. There are people here that you are controlled by demon spirits. Jesus wants to set you free tonight. But he can't set you free as long as you're hanging on to those things. You've got to let go. You've got to let go. And so tonight, while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, the first thing I want to do is I want to pray for those that are here that you don't know Jesus. And you may have gone to this church for 10 years, but you don't really know Jesus. And you know that tonight, and something's stirring inside you, and you don't want anybody to find out, maybe, or maybe you don't care. And I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to introduce you to him tonight. You're going to know the real God. You're going to end up with a personal relationship with him tonight. And if you're here tonight, I'm asking every head to be bowed, every eye closed. I don't want anybody looking around. But you're not in right relationship with God. You don't know for a fact that if you die tonight, you would go and stand in His presence and be right with Him. Tonight, you're here. You don't know Him like that, but you want Him to forgive you. You want to build that relationship with Him. You want to know the God that created everything, the God that can set you free, the God that has destiny and purpose for you, that preordained destiny and purpose for your life. You want to be right with God. You don't care about the other stuff. You just want to be right with God. And you feel the stirring of the Almighty God on your heart right now. You're at a place of decision. You have to decide. Either yes or no, you have to decide. There's no other option. God is speaking to your heart. He's brought you here tonight to speak into your life because He loves you. Tonight, you have to make a decision. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to know. But so that I know who to pray for, what I want you to do is I want you to do me a favor. I want you to slip up your hand if that's you and put it right back down. Just slip up your hand. God sees. Others, slip up your hand, put it right back down. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus. God sees. God sees. God sees. Others, slip up your hand, put it right back down. God's going to touch you. He's going to do a miracle. God sees. Others, right now, God sees. Others, come on, honest with God. God sees those hands. Slip up your hands right now before we begin to pray. Spirit of God's here. God's going to set you free. He's going to do a new work inside you. God sees that hand. Others, slip up your hand. Say, tonight I want to give my all to Jesus. I'm not going to play games anymore. I'm not going to hide anything from Him anymore. I'm going to be honest with God. God sees that hand. Others, slip up your hand. Put it right back down. God's going to do a miracle in your life tonight. The Almighty God is here. He's a loving God. He sees your hand. He's going to do a miracle in your life. He sees it. He loves you. He's a redemptive God. God sees that hand. God loves you. God loves you. The Spirit of the Almighty God's here. He didn't die on a cross to condemn you to hell. He didn't die on the cross to give you religion. He died on the cross to make it so very easy to enter into the presence of God. All we have to do is open our heart and the grace of God will be released. The power of God, and He'll begin to heal us and to change us and to transform us. He's a gracious and a loving God, and He loves you. He knows you. He preordains you to greatness. God sees. God sees. God sees. Oh, Father, I thank You for Your presence. Father, I thank You for loving us so much. I thank You. You are a real God, a loving God. You're not a religion. Thank You for not being a religion. Thank You, Father, for not being a mean God, but for being a loving and a compassionate God. Thank You, Father, for being here with us tonight, bringing us to this point when destinies are being changed, lives are being transformed, bondages are being broken. I'm going to pray with you right now, and as I pray with you, what's going to happen is God's going to forgive you for your sins, your past, your present, and your future sins. He's going to break bondages. Some of you are in bondage to some of the things that I talked about and maybe some things that I didn't. God's going to break those bondages. You won't have to do that anymore. You won't have to go there anymore. You won't have to be that person anymore. God's going to forgive you. He's going to transform your life right now. Right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask everyone in this place to pray with us. Because that devil likes to come and he likes to make people uncomfortable. And we're going to trick that old devil. We're all going to pray. There's not going to be anybody uncomfortable. But what I want you to do, if you're praying for the first time or you're recommitting your life or you're making a full commitment of your life tonight, what I want you to do is don't just say the words. Don't worry about anybody around you, but speak the words to God. He's here and He's listening. Speak them from your heart and God's going to set you free. You're going to start entering into destiny. Your life is going to be transformed. You're going to freak out the things you're going to see in the days to come as God begins to move in a fresh and a new way in your life. He's here right now. He's getting loosed tonight. So right now, I want everyone to pray with us. Pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I know I've sinned. I ask You to forgive me. Come inside my heart. Change my life. I'm not going to play games anymore. I know that You love me. And I give You my life right now. All my life, all my situations, And I'm going to live for you from this day on, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for each and every one that prayed that prayer. I thank you, Father, for each and every sincere and honest heart tonight. Father, I pray that you could absolutely loose them. Father, I know that you're preordained tonight to break the bondages. You preordained tonight to set people free. You preordained tonight to usher people into the glory and the presence of the Almighty God. I thank you for loving them. I thank you, Father, for your compassion and your mercy. You are an awesome God, and we thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, you are such a good God. Such a good God. Oh, we thank you, Father, for loving us so much. God's done some miracles tonight. What you need to do is you need to write it down somewhere. Tonight is the night that God broke that bondage off my life. And if that devil comes back and says, no, you're still that same old guy, show him the paper. Say, nope, I got it written down right here. This is the day that Jesus set me free, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. God just did a miracle. Don't let that devil take it back from you. What we're going to do right now is I'd like to pray with some people. Can I do that? And my wife's going to come. She's just a powerful woman of God. She speaks stuff. God gives her words. She speaks stuff. Just the power of God gets loosed. She's awesome. Such a blessing to me. And she's going to come, and we're going to pray for some people. If you need prayer, maybe there's some things that you just like us to agree with you about. Maybe you just got saved for the first time. I'd love to be the first one to pray with you. That would be so cool. That would be so cool. I would be so honored if you'd let me pray with you. And maybe there's needs. Maybe there's a physical, emotional need. Maybe there's a need in your family. Whatever it is. Maybe there's a spiritual things. I honestly believe that there are some here that are having issues with demon spirits. And I want to pray for you because God can break that right now. Nothing too hard for God. So if we could do that, I'm going to ask the pastor to just take over, do whatever he needs to do. And if you'd like prayer, I want you to come on up. Me and my wife will be up here. We'll pray with you. We'll believe God with you. And nothing's too hard for God. And nothing freaks God out. Don't try to hide stuff from God. He already knows. But if you'll be honest, and you don't have to be necessarily, you don't have to tell me the whole story. Just say, I need prayer is fine. If it's something I don't need to know about, but come on up and let us pray for you and believe God and join with you in prayer. God will break those things tonight. Some of you just got saved. That is so cool. You are a child of God now. Old things have passed away. All things have just become new. You just opened the door to destiny, and that is so cool. If you're not a member of this church, make plans to come on out and be a part of it. If you can't make it to this church, find a good Holy Ghost Bible-believing church. Not a religious one. Something that's alive. Let God feed you. God's got great things for you. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Pastor?